already heard, I'd like to turn to the New Testament, to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're just going to read part of a verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul, writing to Timothy, uses this beautiful expression, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life, and incorruption, better word, to light through the gospel." Who hath saved us? Now Jeremiah chapter 8, please, the second verse, very well known, one of the most sad and solemn verses, standing either in its context or away from its context. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his own precious word. What I'm going to speak about here this evening for a few minutes is to note that in the New Testament we've been reading about one of the greatest of God's servants, who before his conversion was one of the greatest enemies. And now by divine grace he is able to associate himself with all who are believers, and especially writing to Timothy, his own son in the faith. And he said, "Who saved us." But we have also read in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, by contrast, a people whose confession is altogether different. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." I'd like to say that the whole world is divided into two groups. There are many groups as far as politicians are concerned, and racial origin, and opinions, and education. But when God looks down tonight into this world, into every country, land, and continent, every island of the sea, and into Canada here in the United States, this North American continent, he sees the millions that are moving in the direction of eternity. We're all passing onward, passing onward, quickly passing, and soon the journey will terminate. Today the journey has terminated for multitudes. And even since we sat down here, many have left the world, never to come back. There are two great processions moving under the eye of God. They are described in Matthew 7 as traveling along one of two roads. The Savior said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The vast majority are on the wrong road. When I lived in Vancouver a number of years ago, it was estimated that 60% of the population in the lower mainland attended a place of worship. Brother Peterson was speaking to me yesterday, and he said it's now estimated that 20% of people attend anywhere where the Bible is read. Deterioration. It shows us that the multitudes today are traveling the broad road. You are saved. I want to ask you a personal question.
On what road are you traveling? Where are you going?
The first thing that people have to discover in relationship to the gospel is an answer to the question of Genesis 3 and 9, the first question that God ever asked of man. Where art thou? Are you saved tonight? Are you going to heaven? Can you say clearly, who saved us? Or are you in this terrible condition, the saddest of all, and there are likely quite a number here, and this is true of you, though thank God the first part is not true. The harvest is past for multitudes today, and the summer is ended for millions that are in eternity. Miss salvation. Wouldn't matter what else you miss. Don't miss Christ. If you miss Christ as your Savior, you will never be in heaven. The destiny of every man in this world, or who has ever been in this world, or ever will be in this world, destiny is decided by Christ. We are not saved. Our meaning isn't true. We are saved. We are not saved. Now I'm going to address myself to those who are not saved. And when we speak of being in that condition, it means that you're not saved from the penalty of your sins that we've been hearing about. We all entered the world the same way. In fact, Psalm 51 says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, telling us that life began in the womb. Contrary to human opinion, largely in this area, we believe that we had our beginnings in the womb of our mother, and we were shapen there in sin, conceived in sin. There's only one person that was not conceived in sin, and that was the Lord himself. He was holy in the womb of his mother, without a taint or blemish. Man who would dare to insinuate that he received anything from Mary of sin, they know nothing of the meaning of the virgin birth and its importance to the atonement that he made when he was wounded on the cross. Christ was absolutely sinless, impeccable. Only one like that could make the atonement for you and for me, the sinless substitute who went to Calvary and bare the sin of the world. Never be saved if you don't believe in the sinless perfection of the Redeemer. We preach it wherever we go, and we believe it with all our heart, with all others. The human family, we were conceived in sin, and we entered into the world unclean. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. We started wrong in sin. And then, when we arrived at the age of understanding, and let me say, I believe that every infant child, every unborn or born child, dying in infancy or before attaining the age of understanding, sheltered in the precious blood. Thanks be unto God. Heaven will be filled with multitudes of children redeemed by the blood of Christ. But as soon as you arrived at the age of understanding and you began to sin, you became not only a sinner by nature, but you became a sinner by practice. And the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, the proof that all have sinned, but eternal death, separation from God forever. We're living in an age when realities are unreal. We are living in an age when people have forgotten that there is a heaven at the end of life for every believer. And there is a real hell. Men today on pulpits tonight
Even fundamental preachers are leaving it out of their preaching and stating it in an obscure way. We want to be praying tonight. Every soul that is here, everyone that is here tonight, young and old, rich and poor, whether from a background of believers or unbelievers, young man, you're traveling to hell if you're not saved tonight. And you'll never be in heaven without the new birth. Jesus said it. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are not saved.
It means being saved from the penalty that we all have merited. Going around today, one would feel that men have the idea that God is under an obligation to save people.
He's under no obligation to save any of us.
If I had gone to hell, I would have received the due reward of my deeds, and my mouth would have been closed forever, and I would have perished.
It's of the Lord's mercies that even one in this large congregation here can say, who saved me by his grace.
Romans, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, by grace are you saved. Through faith.
And that out of yourselves, it is the gift of God, unmerited favor, bestowed upon us.
And moreover, let me say that that gift is within the reach of everyone that is here.
We are those who believe that it is the birthright of every guilty son of a fallen race, whether black or white, yellow or red. Every man here and every woman and boy and girl has a personal birthright. What is that?
To come to the throne of grace and receive the gift of eternal life through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Savior said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no barrier.
The veil in the ancient tabernacle that hung, the word of that veil was this. It's a prohibition. Stay out. But the veil is rent. And that which was a prohibition, it teaches now a pathway.
There's a way back to God from the dark of sin. There's a door that is opened and all may go in.
Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. Not saved. Now here's what I'm going to say about. You are not saved here. Are you satisfied that you're not saved? You'll never be saved until you find out that you're unsaved, that you're lost. Very difficult for people to understand, I'm lost. And if I die tonight, I have no hope. Many of you know the mechanics of salvation, if I may use the term. And you're familiar with the gospel. Some of you have been brought up under its precious sound, what a privilege that is. Others, it may be strange in their ears. But once you make the discovery, I'm lost. I'm wandering in the wrong road. With all my knowledge, I've never had Christ as my Savior. I don't know what the Christians know at all. Heaven is not my home. If I should suddenly leave the world, I would wait until the long sight of a fixed goal and perish, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, friend. You can't afford a trifle. Make no mistake, young man, tonight, whoever you may be, older one, you're drifting, and beyond the falls there lies the fire. Too late. One moment out of the box, too late. There's only hope tonight for you. The Bible says now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Not saved, and salvation is so needful. Go to heaven without money. There's a beggar man there that lay at the gate. He's in heaven today. his rich neighbor perished. You can go to heaven without a copper in your pocket. You can go to heaven without an education. You can go to heaven without baptism. You can go without ever sitting once at the Lord's Supper. The dying thief went to heaven the day he was saved. Never heard of an assembly. Never knew anything about the preaching of the gospel. Never sang the gospel hymn. One thing you need, and one thing I need, one thing our brother Alan needed. I stopped him. I was just thinking when he was speaking. One Saturday I saw him going down with a number of boys to the train in Lurgan. He was a great rugby player when he was in his teens. He was heading off. I don't know whether he remembers. I went over and I said, "Jim, put Christ first." One thing that is needful is to know Christ as your Savior. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know about Him? Everyone here knows about Him. You know that He came and died on that old rugged cross. You're familiar with it. And that His blood was shed. You know that He was here and He rose again. And we believe He really rose again. The world celebrates today something they have no living knowledge of. You ask me how I really live. He lives within my heart. Those of us who are saved here, we have been in touch with the living Christ. Tell me, do you know it's the one thing needful? In life, you need Him. In the days of storm and darkness, you'll need Him. In the days of doubt and affliction, you need Him. And when the end is drawing near, is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near who will go through death, dark water, fire, silent, and will calm the way before us, and will calm the rising fears? Bear my spirit safely over time. Yes. There's one. There's only one. When loved ones need to be saved, the Savior. And you can't focus your attention. And your mind is wandering. You're going out. Tell me, friend of mine, will it be by your bedside? You need a friend like him. You need him in that tremendous hour. And it may be too late to receive him. Not say one may need him to get to heaven. It's to know the cleansing of His blood, the assurance from His word that your soul is sacred. Not saved, and salvation has been purchased so dearly. Not saved, and salvation is needed, the one thing needful, but it has been purchased so dearly. There's nothing ever cost God more than to have a preacher here tonight. Preachers here tonight to announce the gospel in your ears. When it came to the creation of the world, He said a word. The breath of His lips, Psalm 33, He stated it was done. But in order that He might bring this wonderful salvation within your reach, one of the Godhead had reached, no less a person than the Son, should lay aside the outward environment of heaven and stoop from the glories of the skies to the born of the Virgin, to the carpenter of Nazareth, to be the man of sorrow. On the mountain side, the homeless stranger whose locks were filled with the drops of the night and his head was filled with dew. Hungry, lonely, thirsty, homeless. Every man went to his own home, as we shall do tonight. But many nights he went to the mountain's side. The mountain's side was oft as dead. Thy couch was the sod, thou blessed Lamb of God, on the blue hills of Galilee. You never sing that, but I love to sing the chorus, "Oh, come to my heart.
Lord Jesus, come. I have room in my heart for thee.
Friends of mine, you never made room for the Savior. There was no room in him. There was no room in Nazareth. There was no room in Jerusalem. They took him outside the city gate, but they were trees. The world never had any room for Christ. And those who are unsaved here,
you have made no room for him. Room for pleasure. Room for acquaintance.
Room for sport. Room for entertainment. Room for travel. Room for business. But for Christ the crucified, is outside your life tonight. Behold, I stand at the door of the knock. He's knocking through the gospel tonight. He's waiting patiently.
He's been there all your life. From you were a child in the Sunday school, he waited.
That day that you were touched when another man preached, or a loved one went home, and you stood at your grandfather's bedside, and you realized he was in heaven.
You were touched, he was knocking,
waiting, standing all the days. He's here tonight again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in.
I will sup with him, he with me. Not shame, and he has provided salvation, so costly. One of the Godhead three has gone to the tree,
and as we have heard, he was wounded and bruised, crushed beneath the load of sin, judgment of God, fell upon.
When I was a little boy, I sat in the sands in Ireland on my holiday. It was the Christian service mission for children, and they gathered there, and I was sent to sit there in the sands and listen to the preaching. But there was a man there, short little man. He had a Cambridge blazer on. He's a graduate of the university. And he began to speak one day when I was a child, and he said, I'd like to teach you all a course. He was the author of that little hymn, that little course. His name was W.G. Arms. And this is what was said in Psalms when I was a boy. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I'm free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. You know, I never forgot that song. In my own bodily days, it would keep coming up wounded for me. I didn't know it. I never experienced it. But there was a day in my life as a boy of 19 when I realized he was really wounded on that cross for me. He took the stroke. He endured the agony. Whatever curse that I merited fell upon him. And the Bible says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Oh, what a cross. We are here tonight preaching this gospel, and it seems very little we can do. But before we could ever make your heart, before we could ever announce it in your ears, the precious blood had to flow. That side was pierced with a cruel spear, those hands, those loving, tender hands of the Redeemer were pierced upon Calvary's cross for you and for me. His brow was crowned with cruel thorns, and the blood ran down his cheeks and filled his eyes. He was mocked and taunted. He hung in the darkness until the sun, his own sun, was veiled with hell's beams of light. And there in that dark, tremendous hour, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I can't understand this. How could I explain it? Will we ever be able to comprehend it? That he took our place, hanging alone upon the tree. No sin of his own to bear. But the Bible says he had made him to be the sin offering for us. The sin bearer on the tree. Die, crushed and bruised, and you're not saved. If there was no remedy, we could understand it.
If God had left you out of the provision, but we heard it quoted, and we can never hear it too often, for God so loved the world. This is not the world of elect believers. This is not the world of animals and birds. This is not the world of ecology or geography. This is not the world of space or time. This is the world of lost men. There's not a man breathing air tonight on the way to hell, but God's desire for that man is that he might be saved from going down to the pit.
We make no apology for saying to you tonight, whoever you are, that God loves you. And that Christ has made ample provision on Calvary that you might be saved. And that his blood can make the virus clean. And that you have a birthright. But you must come.
You must come as an individual. I had to come. All of us had to come. Stripped of everything we gave. You must come and receive Christ to be your own personal Savior, or you'll never be in heaven. This is a personal matter,
the most personal thing. God has given us the dignity of choice. God has given us the dignity of opportunity. God has placed upon your head and mine the tremendous responsibility of being saved or lost. He has done everything that he can possibly do. He gave his Son. Christ gave his blood and cried, it is finished. The Holy Spirit has given us the Bible to make us sure, written in our own tongue and in our hand tonight, the way of salvation, that whosoever believeth in him can't be saved without believing. You can't be saved without coming. You can't be saved without trusting. You must come. I can't decide for you. Angels that are waiting here can't decide for you. The Holy Spirit can't decide for you. He can strive with you earnestly and lead you gently.
God cannot decide for you, I say it reverently. In this matter of where you will be in eternity will be determined by one person.
And if you miss it, you will bear the blame forever. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear.
Friend of mine, if you miss Christ, you'll go down into hell like Cain, who said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You'll lift your eyes in hell and torment and realize, I need never have come here.
There are people there tonight that never heard one gospel message. Jesus said of some of them, if they had had the opportunity, they would have repented long ago.
Even the Sodomites, the land of Gomorrah, if they had had a gospel preacher, and if they had heard of the atoning blood, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes.
But they're lost tonight. Lost. Never to be saved. But you're here tonight, and God is giving you an opportunity.
And he's piling into your mind the way of salvation. You say, what must I do?
I'm not saved. And salvation is stated so clearly. Not only purchased so dearly, but stated so clearly in the Bible. There are many things that are not clear. There are many doctrines that are not clear.
There are many profound things in the Bible that we cannot unravel.
But this old book from cover to cover, it tells me the way of salvation. Delirium the astronomer said, the Bible is not given us to show how the heavens are going.
The Bible is given to show us how to go to heaven. We have it in the book here. Listen to these words of the Savior in John chapter 3.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a sacrificial verb. It means he gave him to die in the place of sinners.
He gave his only begotten Son, the Son of us all. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. When he refuses a home in heaven? No, not one. Did ever saint fight this friend forsaken? No, not one. Or sinner fight that he would not take? No, not one.
Can you bring me a sinner here that came in repentance,
that turned away from his sin, that knelt at his bedside, and believed in his heart that Christ had died for him, and God said, no, I can't receive you? Never one to him that cometh will be turned away. Matters not how bad you are tonight, how many your sins may be. I never ask people about their past life when they come seeking the way of salvation. I don't ask them whether they're addicted to drugs or alcohol. I never ask them about their marital relations. They're sinners in the sight of God, and that precious blood can cleanse the lightest stain. All men are equal in the sight of God, all sin. Some to a greater degree than others, but all need Christ. And Christ has died and made the provision. But I impress upon every anxious soul his responsibility to come only easily. And so we sang Charlotte Elliot's lovely hymn tonight. Just as I am, without one plea. Is that the way you are tonight? Just as I am without God. I'm casting away my religion, my works, my prayers and penances, and all my thoughts. I'm casting them away and I'm coming as a guilty sinner. Right into the very presence of God, to the throne of grace. There's a throne of grace tonight, Hebrews 4. Is the precious blood is given at the footstool of mercy. And any sinner that comes down into the presence of God, any sinner that owns his heart, and I'm not asking you to go home tonight and get down at your bedside. We're asking you right now, as the conference is in its even, with 5 minutes to go until the climax is set, we're asking you right now that one in this audience will say from his heart, I know I'm not saved, and I know Christ has died, and I know that God has sent his Son to die. And I know I'm responsible for where I've been. I know my mother can't decide it. I know my wife can't decide it. I know the preacher can do nothing for me. I know that no one in this whole world can decide this matter. But I'm going to come right now in the simple way that God asked me to come. Not raising my hand, waiting behind won't do you any good. He could speak to you in a minute, he can't save you tonight. But the Bible says it is with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. Romans chapter 10. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then we ask you tenderly tonight, will you do it right enough? Or we allow the devil to put you past the door? He's whispering, time enough yet.
Wait a little longer. The friend of mine, the coming of the Lord is imminent. This may be the last time. Brother Boyd reminded us in the announcements tonight. It may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. Someone may be drifting tonight over the deadline. Accidents all around us. This holiday weekend, many have gone into eternity from Greece, Columbia. Accidents on the water and in the air as they travel by land and sea. And the coming of the Lord is in. This may be the last hour for you. What shall I do then with Jesus? Just call Christ. Will you rise out of your seat and say no once again? Will you push the issue aside
Will you say, go thy way for this time, and a convenient season I will call. Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Oh, I trust that someone here tonight might turn his hands to the cross. Not saved and salvation so needful. Not saved and salvation purchased so dear. Not saved and salvation stated so clearly. Not saved and salvation offered so freely. And not saved and salvation stays passing so quickly. The last day will come. The time up. There's older people here tonight unsaved. Sad to see people, elderly people without a Savior. There are fathers here without a Savior. Grandfathers, mothers without a Savior, never prayed with their child yet. Young women here without a Savior, young married couples, sitting side by side without a Savior, going home tonight, wherever you go, whether it be over the mountains or the valley, across to the island, wherever it may be, you're going away tonight from the gospel. I wonder how you leave. To listen to these lovely words, John 1 and 12, to it, to receive baptism. Not ask you to give any money. Not asking you to change your ideas about theology at all. But ask me to receive Christ. Receive him as Savior. As many as receive him, to them give he the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. Shall I ask the Lord to bless you? Our Father, we do thank thee this evening for the setting forth of these plain and simple facts of the gospel. Man's ruined by sin, its intensity and seriousness, the provision made by our blessed Lord on the cross when he bore the full penalty and the curse hanging the tree. And tonight the gospel going out freely, sounding in the news. The audience divided, saved and not saved, and some almost persuaded to become Christians. We pray to impress upon them the serious responsibility that rests upon them. If they die in their sins after listening to the gospel so faithfully preached, the Savior said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe will be saved. He also said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh God, we fear that some here will be damned. What an awful thing to leave a gospel meeting and go down into the lake of fire and to look back and say that night, I knew that was the right thing. I missed it. Oh God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, to save some sinners in our gathering tonight. We shall give you all praise in his precious name. Amen. 333 again. We'll sing together verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. These last four verses. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting for them and full of love. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love on earth has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yea, thine alone. O Lamb of God, easy to come to the Lamb of God, how gentle he is, how gracious, never turns anyone away that comes in the right manner. Will you come tonight? Now, if there should be any person in this gathering, any boy or girl, man or woman, that would desire a conversation with the preachers or with any of us here about the way of salvation, we couldn't save you, but we'd like you to know that we're interested in you. We could pray with you and for you and tell you more about the Savior's love. Or if there should be any here who have received Christ tonight as your Savior, we'd like to hear about it. How often these last few Lord's days Some have been confessing Christ as their Savior in different parts of the country. And in different conferences, it gives us great joy. Even yesterday, even today, when a young man told us how clearly he had been delivered and saved in these gatherings. I hope you will be saved tonight. Some other son, someone for whom much prayer has been made for years, this has been a night. Don't go away if you like to stick to me, or to our brother Adam. Be glad to stick to you by the Lord Jesus. So shall we sing the hymn? We'll sing verse 4, 5, and 6.